Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For the Love of Food at SavorLife.com. And I'm looking forward to picking up a latest set of meals from Sweet Pea Plant-Based Kitchen tomorrow. Sunday is the pickup or delivery day. They do deliveries, I think, from Canandaigua to Buffalo and certainly all around Rochester. So the things that I'll pick up tomorrow were ordered last Wednesday, so they're different than what's on the current menu that you can order for pickup next Sunday or delivery. So what I'm picking up tomorrow, there's a mushroom stroganoff, a veggie spaghetti with beet balls. There's roasted carrot mole with wild rice salad and cornbread and lentil shepherd's pie. Especially looking forward to that one. And they also do some pint bottles of some of their sauces each week. So stroganoff sauce or their roasted orange vinaigrette or tomato basil sauce. Ryan Jennings, executive chef for Sweet Pea Plant-Based Kitchen. And they've got, again, some items that come back frequently. There's some chef specials each week. They usually have about eight entrees that you can order, and then a couple of soups, often a hummus, the roasted carrot hummus that you can order now to get next Sunday, and then a couple of cookies or muffins or brownies or granola bars, and this is all vegan. So if you just haven't had much food that's vegan and you're just maybe wondering what it's all about, this would be a fun way to try some. So this week there's lentil sloppy joes, whole grain biscuit with greens and quote-unquote sausage gravy, Moroccan bean stew with herby grain salad, that sounds delicious, cauliflower parm, quote-unquote parm. There's porcini pasta with caramelized onion truffle sauce. I had that a few weeks ago. That was excellent. Tamarind carrot bowl. Seitan hiro pita. And quote-unquote chorizo with black bean enchiladas with Spanish rice. So there are meat and cheese substitutes that are used sometimes for some of these. Food from the influences from all over the world. So they have moved into their new location, which is Lorraine's Food Factory, that is Culver Road, right at West Main, or near West Main, kind of across from East High School. So that's where pickups are on Sundays, generally 10 to 1. Within that 3-hour window, you can go pick it up, and you just call their phone when you get there, and they bring it out to your car, or they'll deliver it. And they've got, you know, a wide delivery area. So, so Ryan Jennings, one of the top chefs in Rochester, he for many years has done the cooking classes for Interval at Max of Eastman Place, and has been a chef at several of our best restaurants here. Again, for, I don't know, maybe 4 years, 3 years now, it was the chef that helped to launch Sweet Pea Plant-Based Kitchen. And there's been more interest in vegan eating, perhaps I've mentioned it before here on the show, it's not a diet, it's more of a lifestyle choice in a way. For a lot of different reasons, a lot of good research about it. So we tend in this direction. I still eat meat occasionally, but really not very often, and can't say I crave it really. The spices, the things that they offer, are a way for you to kind of try a vegan menu and see what you think. Maybe you do it one day a week. Maybe it's 2 days a week. Or maybe it's every other day, or one meal a day. There are all kinds of ways to experiment with this idea. But if you are taking medicine now for high blood pressure, for diabetes, for doctors worried about congestive heart failure, taking statins, etc., keep taking them, but I'm not advocating just stopping taking those. But there's some good evidence that by switching to more of a vegan, plant-based menu and or lifestyle, that you can reduce the need for those. And again, if your numbers come down, your blood pressure numbers, cholesterol, etc., then your doctor can lower the amount of medicine that you're taking. And at some point, hopefully that will be lowered to zero for some of these medicines that are so commonly prescribed. And yet some of these conditions can be dramatically altered by what you're eating. So again, it's really it's a fascinating area to learn more about. And their Rochester Lifestyle Medicine, Ted and Carol Barnett, have been at the forefront of this in our area and helping to bring in sort of national research and national speakers to our area. And several years ago, they launched Rochester Lifestyle Medicine, which is a way to, as it says in the name, it's a lifestyle. It's not a diet. So, if you want details, sweetpeaplantbased.com. You can look them up. You have to have your orders in by Wednesday at 11:59 p.m. For Sunday pickup or delivery. And I'm looking forward to mushroom stroganoff for dinner tomorrow night. I love mushrooms, and I'm hoping to encourage them to do even more mushroom dishes. There's usually at least one each week, sometimes two. There was a mushroom marsala a couple weeks ago that was really delicious. And I could eat mushrooms every day. So, again, try it once a week. You know, get a couple meals. Try a couple of their vegan cookies or muffins. It's a denser muffin. They're vegan muffins. But some delicious flavors and spices. And if you run into some interesting dishes, especially with mushrooms, they don't have to be vegan. Mushrooms with heavy cream is a pretty good combination. But if you run into some interesting mushroom dishes, I'd love to hear about them. I'm going to do more coverage of them this winter. And love some tips on where they're on a menu or as a special. There's some fantastic mushroom dishes out there, not always on the menu, sometimes just as a special. But let me know. Email me, michael@saverlife.com. Send me a photo or just a quick note that a specific restaurant has a dish that you really loved with mushrooms, or not with, or without mushrooms. Again, always glad to hear from listeners about what you run into and some of your favorites. I saw a note from Wolf Schlegel's maple syrup that they have tapped their trees. It's a long process. They have a lot of trees to tap, so they go and they drill holes in the trees. They have a very complex system of tubing to carry the maple sap to where they process it and just reduce it. It's really processing, I guess, is the technical term, but They are taking the water out. Basically, it's a pretty amazingly simple idea. And maple trees at this point are probably not pushing sap, but within a few weeks, it's likely to start happening. Certainly by March, often by February. It takes some days that are above freezing, and we have some coming up, perhaps, although Naples is often colder than Rochester. But days above freezing, nights below freezing, and the sap will start running. Kind of one of the first signs of spring for me. The trees are getting ready for spring. They're moving the nutrients and the sugars that are used to leaf out. And so they'll drill new holes in the trees each year. They have a very specific way of drilling, so they don't drill in the same spot each year. Specific number of holes depending on the size of the tree. And this does not damage the tree if you're careful about it. You're taking some of the sap that the tree produces. You're not taking anywhere near all of it, and you're making some amazing maple syrup. So it takes about 40 gallons of sap to create 1 gallon of syrup, which 40 to 1 is the general rule. And I think they use a reverse osmosis system, at very high-tech system at Wolfsegel's to do that. You can also take a big pot and put it over a wood fire and boil away. But generally when I've seen people do that, whether it's at the Genesee Country Village Museum or and they do that kind of thing in March, their maple syrup festivals, festival weekends. But I've done it in some backyards with several people who've tapped their own trees, and they use a flat bottom pan and a kind of a spread out fire, and you kind of boil it away fairly fast until you get to the end, and then you got to be careful because it can burn very easily as you get down to the point where you're close to the syrup that you're looking for. Then it gets tricky to not do it too fast and to get the right consistency for that syrup. I've had one maple syrup from someone who did their own that had a very smoky flavor. I'm not sure that was intentional, but I'm not sure how that happened, but it was actually really tasty. I kind of like that. Again, it just may have been the smoke from the fire that got into the maple syrup, but it was, I kind of liked it, that twist on it. I've also had several maple syrups lately that are, that are aged somewhat or stored for a while in bourbon barrels. So Wolfsegel's does that, and I think they use black button bourbon barrels, and maybe add a tiny percentage of bourbon to it. They can't add that much because then it becomes an alcoholic drink rather than flavored. But I think they do add a little bit of bourbon. I'm not sure of that, but it's not enough to raise the alcohol level much at all. I forget what the percent alcohol level has to be so it's not considered an alcoholic drink, but it's probably somewhere in the less than 1% range, something like that. But I just had another one that came from a cheesery outside of our area, from Vermont, Jasper. I guess Jasper Hill. we got a kind of a cheese CSA for Christmas, and from some of the family, and they sent us a kind of a cool combination of things. They do this monthly, but you can choose, you know, to do it every other month or every 3 months. Or you, that's kind of a nice option. And the first shipment we got had three kinds of cheese, and one of them had the recipe for a cocktail on it that paired well with the cheese, and and also this box included not only the cheese but a number of the ingredients for the cocktail. And there was a spruce tincture that you made by boiling this piece of spruce wood for like 45 minutes and reducing it a lot, and then you add a few drops of this to the cocktail. There was also some aromatics, which are made in Vermont, and I assume the spruce was from Vermont too, but these aromatics are something that you just spray on top of the cocktail before you serve it. And it's like a little perfume bottle. In some ways, it is essentially perfume. And there are not much details on it. It's made from natural flavorings. But it's, you know, again, a very tiny amount, one like a little mist of this that you spray on top of the cocktail just before you serve it. Yeah, had a few other ingredients, fascinating, very, very earthy cocktail with the spruce tincture, and it was made with, I think it was with gin, gin or vodka, but quite a bit of it. I actually ended up kind of watering mine down a little bit, so it wasn't quite so strong. And I thought it was a great combination. It seemed like the cocktail was delicious, the cheese was delicious, but together they were even better, which is really the kind of the holy grail of pairings, whether it's wine and food or in this case cocktails and cheese. You know, you take a really good wine, a really good dish, and you discover when you taste them together that it's even better for whatever reason. That is the, as I said, the holy grail of pairings. And whether it's chocolate and wine or cheese or, you know, seafood or whatever it is, that is what you're shooting for. Now, sometimes it can go the other direction. And I've had this happen with white wines and seafood, fish in particular, where the wine is really good, the fish is really good, and you put the two together and the fish tastes fishy. Just, you know, negative fish flavors come out where they weren't in the dish itself. But again, with this, you know, particular white wine, not every white wine, just this particular one, you wanted to avoid it, really. So, you know, at that point, the fish is good, the wine is good, you just don't consume them together. So it can go in the other direction. And but that one with the fish and white wines seems to be somewhat unpredictable. So when you go to a nice restaurant, they would hopefully have some suggestions on pairings that might be more likely to work and less likely to come up with that fishy flavor. That's kind of what you count on the restaurant staff to have us have tried some of those and you know, and experimented with their wine list and the food. So again, if you want any details on this cocktail or these ingredients, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. One of the ingredients, which I was almost forgot to mention, was the gin, kind of gin-infused maple syrup that came with it. So this was maple syrup that was stored in gin barrels, and again, perhaps had a tiny bit of gin in it. And I have to say, maybe I'm not a huge lover of spirits, you know, gin, vodka, bourbon. They're not things that I drink, and I don't actually usually have cocktails that often. So I'm not very knowledgeable or you know, haven't tasted that many. But I thought the maple syrup that was done with the gin barrels was really good, and kind of a cool combination. A little less fond of the bourbon and maple syrup combination. So the moral of the story is you should try them all and see, you know, it's a personal preference. But I haven't seen the gin one available in our area. And I got to send Wolfschlegels a note because maybe they can team up with Black Button, or maybe Finger Lakes Distilling, which has done some really good gins that they've gotten some great write-ups for. And they may already be working on this at Wolfschlegels. I wouldn't be surprised. They do some very creative things with their maple syrup. And they're down near Naples, so they have the retail shop open now, and they're just waiting for the sap to start running for the 2021 vintage of maple syrup. You can follow them online. Maybe follow them on Facebook so you can see what's happening with in the maple syrup world here in our area. We're in a great area for maple syrup. New York State, Vermont, Quebec, New Hampshire. I mean, this is a big production area for maple syrup, and it's so delicious. I have not had the fake stuff in many, many years. Ran into a combination of half fake and half real maple syrup at a fine dining brunch at one point. That was bizarre. It didn't taste real to me. I was just surprised that they wasted good maple syrup mixing it half and half, because the end result wasn't really very good. But it is a way cheaper. So once you learn more about how maple syrup is made, I don't mind paying for it. I don't use as much that really. I'm actually more likely to consume a spoonful here and there than to put it on things. But it's really good with granola, on granola, when you make your own. That's probably how we use the most of it, but or the bulk of it. The local maple syrups, there's many producers. They will be gearing up for pancakes and maple syrup in as we get into February and March, and Genesee Country Village Museum also does a lot of that, especially in March. So again, you can celebrate the first signs of spring by consuming some maple syrup. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, and then tomorrow it's the Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food at SaverLife.com. Have a great day.